We're going to jump in here as we focus on part two of our Greatest Commandment series. And does everybody remember, you should, does anybody remember what part two is? Thank you, Deb. To love your neighbor as yourself. And when I think of neighbors, I don't know who you think of, but here's who I think of. I think of Wilson from Home Improvement. Anybody seen Home Improvement here? There's probably young kids in here who don't even have the slide. Listen, it's on a Hulu. It's worth going to watch it, okay? So in a sitcom, Wilson is known as probably the most kind, the attentive, gentle, and caring neighbor to the Taylor family. He was a voice of experience. He was a voice of wisdom and reason, and he helped his neighbors navigate daily life. One of the fun things that you may not know if you've never watched the show or you watched it and you were oblivious to it, they never showed his mouth. So every scene they ever did, they had something conveniently blocking his mouth. And I don't know the reason for that, but as you get later on into the seasons, the creativeness that they employ to hide his mouth in transitions, but that's neither here nor there. But Wilson is the one that I think of when it comes to being a neighbor. And today, when we compare even this sitcom to what today's world is, today's world, we park in garages. As soon as we get home, we pull into a garage or we pull under a carport behind the church and walk to our house. We sit on our back porches instead of our front porches and only somewhat maybe know our neighbors or what is going on in their lives. I would say today we are probably less neighborly than we ever have been because it's all about us. We care about ourselves, and it's just kind of, and now we keep to ourselves and things aren't as openly shared. And I believe that today's scripture is going to be a challenge for each and every one of us. In fact, if you have your Bible this morning, before I tell you to turn to it, I'd just like to see represented who all has their Bible here this morning. Would you raise it up and hold it up, please? I suppose phones count, Rochelle, if you're using it as a Bible. I'll let you use it. So with that being said, I love to see that many Bibles lifted up. I love to see you guys bringing your Bibles to church. And let me invite you to open your Bible this morning to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And as you turn there, let me encourage you. I hope that you don't just bring your Bible to church to have it in church, but rather I hope you're opening it every day of the week that you're not in the church and reading the Word of God. I hope that you are meditating and chewing on the Word of God every single day. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, it reads like this. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, Jesus asked him, "What commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength.'" That was the focus of last week's sermon. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go to our website and listen to it so you have context for today as well. Verse 31, the second is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Verse 32, and the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher." As if Jesus needed to know that he was right. The scribe said, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all of the heart, with all of the understanding, and with all of the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So the second part that we're in today is to love your neighbor as yourself. You can take this as a note and go look at it later. Jesus is quoting. Last week we saw he was quoting Deuteronomy. This week, in the same bit, he is quoting Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And here's how that reads. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Right away, the first question that popped into my mind is, well, who is our neighbor? Is it the people that live around me? Is it the people that I commune with every day? We can start to draw funny lines when we start to dictate who is or isn't our neighbor. When we start to put qualifications on what it means for them to be our neighbor. When it's as easy as this, if we just turn to Scripture, we would have the answers of who our neighbor is. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learn who our neighbor is. See, the parable of the Good Samaritan tells the story of a man who was attacked by robbers, and he was left on the side of the road on the way to Jericho. He was stripped of his clothes, he was beaten, and he was left for dead. Imagine driving from Oski to New Sharon and seeing that. How many of us are driving by? How many of us are calling 911? How many of us are stopping and calling 911? Don't answer that, but just think about that. So he was left for dead, and soon after, a priest was passing by the same road, and when he saw the man, he went to the other side of the road and continued on his way. A Levite then passed by, and he too moved to the other side of the road when he saw the man, but a Samaritan. But a Samaritan came by, and when he saw the man, he took pity on him. He poured oil and wine on his wounds, carried him on his donkey, and brought him to an inn and took care of him there. The following day, he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii and asked him to look after the man, adding that when he returned, he would compensate the innkeeper for any extra expense he may have for caring for the man. After telling this story, Jesus asked the Pharisee, which he thought among the three was a neighbor to the man who was robbed. To which the Pharisee replied, "The man who showed mercy." Jesus then told the Pharisee, "Go and do likewise." Show mercy. Go and do likewise. Did you know, as Christians, we are required to love all people? Did you know that this morning? Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, write that down. You can go check on it later. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yes, that means we love people outside of the church. That even means we have to love the people inside the church. Yeah. I want you to know, as your pastor, this morning I was in here and I prayed over each and every one of you. I prayed in the seats that each one of you sit in this morning. And I asked the Lord to increase my love for the sheep that He has put me over. My desire as your pastor is to see you grow in the Lord, to see you used by the Lord, and to see you excel in your life by the Lord. And a pastor without love is not a pastor at all. So no matter what our differences may or may not be, some of you know I don't like sports. Guess what? We don't need sports to love one another. Some of you know I'm terrible at golf, but I like spending time with you on the golf course. I also like to cook. So if you'd like me to cook a meal, let me know and I'll give you an invitation to come to our house and we will cook and we will put a big spread before you. My desire is to love you more every day. And I listen, this isn't in my notes. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I need you to know that I intentionally take time to pray for each and every one of you. And with that, I don't know what to say beyond that, but just know that I love you and I want the best for you. Here's how I'm going to tie this back in. Now you get to love each other and pray for each other. You get to start loving one another. If there is somebody in this body today that you don't know, guess what? It's time to get to know them. Because Scripture says to do good to all who are in the household of faith. We are to love one another. And so find somebody that you don't know and maybe go out to lunch today. Just an idea. All people. Here's what all people includes from Galatians 6:10. Let us do good to everyone. So here's all people. It includes enemies. Does anybody have any enemies in here today? It includes different gender. It includes those with different ideology than us. We're going to really blur the line here. For those with different political affiliation than us. David, thank you. It includes different race. It includes different ethnicity. It includes different social class, etc., etc., etc. We can continue to go here. To love others as we love ourselves also means that we love each other, Christian brothers and sisters. To love everyone as we love ourselves must flow from the love and devotion that we have for God. We can't love others if we don't love God. And let me qualify that statement. We love God first, and then we love our neighbor. And our love of others, listen, we cannot compromise God's holiness, we cannot compromise His purposes, and we cannot compromise His standards, which are revealed in His Word. If you are not in His Word, how can you know what His standards are? How can you know what His purposes are? So our demonstration, let's sum this up, our demonstration of love to others cannot undermine our devotion to God. If it undermines my devotion to God, it's not worth doing. Are you following me this morning? The idea of loving others wasn't a one-time message from Christ. It wasn't a one-time thing that He said. It wasn't a good idea for this moment, but it was all of Scripture. The idea of loving others is revealed throughout Scripture, and I want to share a couple of examples with you if you want to write these down and go look at them here in a bit. The first one is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. The final one is Romans chapter 13, verse 9, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Is Scripture clear this morning? The last verse, Romans 13, 9, and in the Galatians 5, 16, it captures the heart of loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments are fulfilled, essentially, are carried out if we would just love one another. That's easy to say, though, isn't it? I'll throw myself, I can be hard to love, can't I, Rochelle? We'll have a meeting tomorrow. Everybody's personality in here is different. Everybody has different ideas of how things should go. Here's what I know. If we just start with love towards one another, we can do away with all of those differences because we let love lead. Not preference, not desire, love. If my goal is to love you more than you love me, how are we ever going to have an argument? So spouses, go try that today. Love your spouse more than they love you today and just come back next week and tell me how that goes. And if we need to get you into the marriage adventure weekend, if it doesn't go well today, please call me. We will get you in there, okay? If we love God completely and we love others unselfishly, like we love ourselves, then all of our attitudes and actions will end up aligning with all of the commandments. They will end up aligning with all of God's instructions, His guidelines, and His standards presented to us in His Word. If we would just love others as we love ourselves, all of the commandments will be fulfilled. Stacy, if you want to come on up here, this is going to be a little bit of a rapid fire here. These are some notes you can jot down if you'd like to look at these or you would like to just consider them and pray over them. Loving your neighbor means receiving God's love. What does that mean? First and foremost, you need to know today that God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for each one of us, for everybody in the world, that they might come into relationship with you. I'd say that's love. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. So God loves you. Knowing this is imperative. Not just knowing it, but believing it. Understanding that God loves you. Right where you're at, He loves you. He loves each of us deeply. He loves us unconditionally. Listen, we might say as spouses, we love each other unconditionally, but guess what? There's conditions to unconditionally, isn't there? Look, in every relationship that you've ever had in your life, tell me there wasn't conditions to your unconditional love. We all have conditions, but God loves us unconditionally. So before we can properly love our neighbors, love our Christian brothers and sisters as we love ourselves, we need to receive it for ourselves. So we need to receive God's love before we can give, because you can't give what you don't have. If I am not consuming the Word of God, how can I present you the Word of God? I can't do it faithfully, I can tell you that. We cannot give what we don't have. Here's number two. Love your neighbor means loving ourselves as well. Not only do we have to receive it, we have to love ourselves. And listen, the truth of this is Jesus died for each and every one of us. He saw it fit to die for us. And if He valued you enough, if He valued me enough to go through what He went through, then we owe it to Him to value what He values. He values each and every one of us here today. He saw us worth it, and we need to love what He loves, us. I can be hard to love, but He loves me. And somehow I have to come to terms that He loves me enough that I need to love myself. How dare we not love what the Father loves? Learning to love ourselves prepares and it helps us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. The third point, loving your neighbor means showing grace. Grace teaches us proper love and respect for ourselves and for our neighbors. Freely receiving His grace empowers us to freely give His grace, to give grace to others. I don't know about you, I don't deserve the grace given to me. But that grace that He is so abundantly giving me every single day, new grace. That's the same freely given grace that I need to give to others. Do we have that much grace? On our own, the answer is no. But through Jesus, the answer is yes. So freely give grace. Show grace to your neighbors. Loving your neighbor means acting with compassion. Isn't that the whole point? Is to have a heart that's moved for others. That is what compassion is. Compassion does not let us sit idly by while someone suffers in a need. Rather, compassion requires us to take action. Loving your neighbor as yourself is being moved to help to the full extent of your ability. Thank the Good Samaritan. To your full ability, you are moved to help them. That can turn costly, can't it? That can turn in a way that maybe we don't understand. Maybe it's time commitment. Maybe it's financial commitment. Sorry about that. You cannot go wrong by showing your neighbor compassion. Loving your neighbor means looking out for their well-being. To look out for them means to pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening in your neighbor's life. If you notice that they need something, guess what? You help. If your neighbor needs something, then we help. Loving your neighbor means serving them. Serving your neighbor. For you to love your neighbor as yourself, you have to develop a heart to serve them. So, what are ways that you can serve your neighbor this week? What is a tangible way that you can serve your neighbor? Loving your neighbor means speaking kindly. To love your neighbor as yourself is to use words to build them up. Encourage them. Build them up. Be intentional in your conversations. Loving your neighbor means making allowances for other people's humanity. What does this mean? This means giving others the benefit of the doubt. In the movie, what's the football movie? The Giants. Facing the Giants. I always thought this was a Tom Jacobs quote, and I've quoted Tom Jacobs every time that I say it, but we watched Facing the Giants here a couple months ago, and that quote came from that movie, and we judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by what? Our intentions. We're willing to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. But do we extend that to our neighbor? Or do we always assume the worst? Extend the benefit of the doubt to your neighbor. Loving your neighbor means sharing in their joys and their sorrows. Loving your neighbor as yourself is showing up, and it's being present, it's being there with them, with your heart open. And it's to listen. It's to allow them to be what they are and support them in their joys and in their sorrows. Sounds like a really fun community to be a part of, doesn't it? Loving your neighbor means forgiving. By which standard? By God's standard. We all need forgiveness, and I think we can all agree every day we need forgiveness. So loving your neighbor is to forgive them as each one of us have been forgiven. Is there somebody in your life today that needs forgiveness? The last and the most important to love your neighbor as yourself is to share about Jesus. To share Jesus and the good things that He has done for you. Just because I like to put people on the spot, who here has had something good because of Jesus in their life? How about we start with grace, undeserved favor. So if He has done that for you, you know that Scripture says that He desires no one to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. That means we share Jesus. We tell others about Jesus. That is the ultimate way to love your neighbor, is to tell them about Jesus, how Jesus forgave your sins, how Jesus changed your life, and how He gave you eternal hope. We just took communion this morning. We take communion until He comes. We all have an eternal hope this morning. Engaging our community for Jesus. If you are part of our church, you know that this is our mission statement. This is our goal. This is what we try to carry out with everything we do. This is why we're doing the staff appreciation at the school, is because we want to love on others in the most impactful way that we can. And I believe that is through the school in this particular item. So engaging our community for Jesus as individuals, it starts in our backyards. Guess what? Neighbors used to meet in the front yard. Now everybody's sitting on their back porch, and how our house is arranged so you can see everybody on their back porch. It starts in our backyards. It starts in our workplaces. It starts in our schools. And it starts, parents, listen, it starts in your home. You want your kids to emulate what you're doing? Do the right thing. If you want them to do what Scripture says. To love others is to love Jesus. To love Jesus is to love others. If we don't love, our actions are that of a noisy symbol. Are we noisy this morning, or do we love? Would you bow your heads this morning? Jesus tells us in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. To be a disciple of Jesus is to love others. To love others, though, we must first have a relationship with Jesus. So that's what we're going to do right now. This isn't a feel-good moment, but rather this is a complete and total to commitment as Christ Jesus, to Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life. He wants and He desires to have a relationship with you. This morning, if you don't have a relationship, if you're unsure, if you've asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, and you would like to commit to Him to that today. Again, this isn't feel good. This has nothing to do with the words, but it has to do with the intent of your heart. If you desire to have a relationship with Him, if you desire to have your sins forgiven, if you desire to walk in His freedom, and you have never done that, would you please raise your hand this morning? Amen. So as we close today, today is about self-reflection. Today is about asking the Holy Spirit to reveal areas of our lives that have been void of love towards our neighbors. today, we get to ask the Holy Spirit. And let me just emphasize, we get to ask. That's a big deal. Today, we get to ask the Holy Spirit to help guide us, to give us His supernatural ability to love others in and out of the church. I can't ask that on your behalf. Listen, I can't go and ask the Lord to build that in your life if you don't want it in your life. So today, it's about you asking the Lord. It's you asking on your own behalf. This is between you and the Lord today. And let me just say, don't have a deaf ear towards what the Spirit is saying to you. As the worship team leads us, church, I implore you to dig in. To resolve to leave here touched by the Holy Spirit and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to live and flow through you so you can love others as you love yourself. As always, the altars are open and I encourage you to seek the Lord. And would you not leave here today without being in the presence of the Lord?